Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. All right. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So after these things was the transfiguration and coming down and healing the boy with the demon spirit. So after those things happened, he sent out 70. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. By the way, I'm in the King James. I know some of y'all are used to the New King James. I'm in Old King James. So, all right. So, the harvest truly is great. Boy, that is more true now than it was back then, simply because there's more people. And I wonder what the ratio is. You know, have you ever thought about that? What is the ratio of believers to non-believers? The ratio of the harvesters or the laborers to the harvest? Because this Christianity spread like wildfire. But then, you know, because Philip in the Philippines, that's where Philip went. There, I think Thomas went into India. I'm not sure where they all went, but they went, you know, China, they went north into Russia and the Scandinavia. They went everywhere, you know, spreading the gospel, sharing his love, and paying for it with their lives, you know. So I wonder what that ratio is today, but I know that still the laborers are few. And there is a great harvest out there. Right here in this town, there is a great harvest. So are we out there laboring? Exactly. And not all Christians are laboring, Lloyd says. And it's true. But the Lord said, you know, in the Great Commission, he said, go. Go ye. Just wherever you go, you can be a laborer. And you don't have to stop and proselytize. Sometimes it's not convenient to do that. But your example, your life can be a gospel to somebody. You can be Jesus to somebody who may never otherwise meet him, just by being a good example of the way he walked. Hallelujah. Again, verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. How true is that today? They were persecuted back then as well, the Romans. I mean, you just take a look at Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see, they were definitely among wolves. In the Roman Colosseum, martyred. And today, maybe not here in this country, maybe Christians here in this country, all we have to put up with is snide looks or comments. But there are those in this world who are being killed for their witness, for their Christian faith. And it's on the internet. You know, ISIS beheading people. People in Chinese prisons being beaten to death. Down in Somalia. You know, there's, you can look at Voice of the Martyrs, and there are dozens and upon dozens of nations which are hostile, openly hostile to Christians. So it hasn't really changed. But thank God for the United States. Thank God we are still able to openly worship our Lord. He's sending them forth as lambs among wolves. Verse 4, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And then, I guess just keep stopping at every verse. There's just something comes out. He's telling them to rely totally on him. Because when you have no purse, no scrip, no shoes, no spare shoes, and you're not to salute another man, by the way, you're not relying on men, you're not relying on your own power, you're relying on God. That is an example of how we should live today. Fully rely on him. Whatever our job is, whatever our source of income is, that is not our source. God is our source. And so as we go, we need to remember that any blessing we have is from him. And I'm feeling it strongly tonight. Any word we share is from him. I could not stand up here and share the word without him in me, without him standing right behind me. He is my rear guard, praise the Lord. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Okay, I'm going to back up. Go into the house and stay in that house. I don't know much about the customs of that time. I know that when someone gives you to eat, when they offer you hospitality, it's extremely rude to refuse it. And you're giving offense when you refuse it. Today, I think in this country that's there's some of that. You know, the nature of hospitality is to make someone feel welcome. And so when someone comes to your home, you should offer them a place to sit, offer them something to drink or eat. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. God wants to bless people. God, nothing happens that doesn't have a reason. And I think the places they went, God wanted them there so God could bless the people who made open their homes. And they gave. And they helped spread the gospel by giving hospitality. And we're taught that when you do that, you get blessed. Just as that person who brings the gospel gets blessed. Because you helped him or her in the bringing of that gospel. The tradition doesn't continue so much today, but I remember even just, Viola, I'm sure you know about this, itinerant preachers going around and people opening up their homes to them. Yeah. You invited them home for a meal because... And that was very common, very common. They can't hear you on the recording, so I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry. But, inviting people, preachers, into the house. Jesse Duplantis tells a story of when he was invited into somebody's house, and it's hilarious. He was young in the Lord, and they gave him a room to stay in. And in the middle of the night, he says how he heard this whoom, and he saw something billow up in the corner. And he thought it was a spirit. And so he stood up in the bed and he cursed it in Jesus' name, and it stopped. And so he went back to sleep, and then a while later it happened again. And it billowed up in the corner, and he stood up in the bed and he screamed, and his hosts came to the door. What's wrong? And when they turned on the light, he saw it was a coat hanging on a rack in the corner, and the air conditioning was coming on and blowing that coat. So, yeah, sometimes when you open up your home, you don't know who or what you're opening it up to. But back to the gospel. Whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. In other words, don't be rude and say, ew, I don't like that. Heal the sick that are therein and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Jesus is there. Jesus is the kingdom. Receiving him, that's the kingdom of God. He's there. Verse 10, but into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That's what he told them to say. If they don't receive it, okay, move on. You know, you've had your chance. You'll have another, but you know, to me, it looks like he's saying, you know, you need to open your eyes. The kingdom of God is here. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And for Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. See, they had it. They had it right there in front of them, right in their streets. They had the Lord bringing the gospel, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, opening deaf ears, and they rejected him. You know, Sodom didn't have that. They didn't have that witness. Tyre and Sidon did not have that witness. But these cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, they saw it before their very eyes, and they rejected it. I think this is an example of God meeting people where they are. You know, when you know the gospel, when you know the word, you're going to be expected to live by it. You're going to be expected to walk in what you have been taught as a Christian. But the baby Christian, you know, God understands. They don't know as much as a mature Christian. It's a family. We are a family. There are babies in a family, and there are grown-ups in a family. For me, the cities of Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, maybe they're not in the family, but if they were, they would have been babies. Whereas Chorazin, Bethsaida, they had him right there. Jesus was there. And they rejected it. Verse 16, he that hears you hears me. He's talking to the 70 again. He that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. It's like a warning. know, take this seriously, he's telling them, in hopes that they will tell others and that those will hear. This is the time is running short. This Jesus coming, this is the beginning of the end of days. And the 7D returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's shouting time, that's wonderful. But then Jesus says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we have the power over the power of the enemy. It's because our names are written in heaven. That's why he has no power over us. That's why in Isaiah it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Elsewhere, he says, you know, don't fear men and what they can do to you. Fear God, who can kill the body and the soul. So, hallelujah. My soul is alive and ever will be, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen is right. That is shouting time. Praise the Lord. Our names are written in heaven. Written in his blood. Hallelujah. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Hallelujah. He gives the knowledge to those who seem to be illiterate and who actually are illiterate. You know, simple people, fishermen, the carpenter's son, you know. God's strength is made perfect in weakness, and he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Hallelujah. And he turned him in unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. It makes me think of the place where the Lord said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. How much would King Solomon have loved to see this? King David, or any of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they would have loved to see Jesus in person. But these simple fishermen, the simple workers, a tax collector, and a doctor got to see it. Hallelujah. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Isn't it just like a lawyer? Put contingencies on something. You can't do that with the Lord. You can't justify it. You can't make excuses. You can't put put exceptions to it. And Jesus answers him. He says, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, skip on down to verse 30. Here we go. And Jesus, answering, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. I'm going to pause there for a minute. I want to go back. And remember, a couple Wednesdays ago, we were reading, and Jesus and his disciples had come to Samaria, and were going to stop there, but the people didn't want them to. And they shoo-shoo, get out of our town. And so Jesus now is using a Samaritan as an example of someone who does good to this poor person, whereas a priest and a Levite, and priests could only be from the tribe of Levi, wouldn't. So I wonder if Jesus maybe was telling them subtly, don't paint every type of a person with the same brush. It's like we're having troubles nowadays. You know, not all police are bad. Not all black people are bad. Not all white people are bad. All lives matter. And it just looks to me to be an example of Jesus saying, you know, there's good Samaritans too. Verse 35. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. How must that have consternated that lawyer? Like was it Peter who asked him, you know, how many times must I forgive those who sin against me? 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 unto 7. You know, 70 times 7, forgive. Everybody is your neighbor. Everybody. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And we go back to the hospitality. When people come into your house, you give them a place to sit. You give them something to drink. You give them something to eat. Well, there's a lot of people here with Jesus. And Martha and Mary have opened their home. And Martha's, I got to give everybody something to drink. Got to give everybody something to eat. Can't have everybody thinking I'm a bad hostess. Oh, no. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, being served the bread of life. And Jesus is not going to deny her that. And what we so often don't understand is that these temporal things, they can wait. But when you have a moment with the Lord, when you know he's present, when you feel that anointing come down, you've just got to stop. and just be in that moment with him. No matter what else is waiting, you know, supper can be late. You can pay those bills. Especially nowadays, you can pay them online. Yeah, you can, they can wait. But, you know, God knows what you have need of. God knows there's things that's got to be done in this earth, but he also knows your spirit needs to be fed. When you put God in the center, everything else comes together. Hallelujah. And Mary understood that. And Jesus said, come on, Martha. Get some spiritual food, too. We'll eat later. All right. Hallelujah. Let's move into chapter 11. We got some time. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Wait, I'm going to stop there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, I don't know why he does not include the rest. But this is not only a model or an example prayer, but this is like this is an instruction of how to pray. Very first thing when you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, you need to know who you're praying to. I'm praying to my Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thine. The first thing Jesus does after acknowledging who he's praying to, he gives the Lord praise. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Here as well as there. So he's saying, Lord, we have things we want, but your will be done. Give us every day our daily bread. Give us what we need to live, Lord. Give us our spiritual food and our material needs. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And as the other gospel says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Again, this is instructions on how to pray. Know who you're praying to. He is above everything. He is the name that is above all names. He is all-powerful. He is almighty. He is I am. And praise him. You know, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I put that in a nutshell for people, and I say, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's how to pray, and that's how it is right here. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in your Maker. Give him all the praise and glory and honor, because he's the only one who deserves it. And pray. Make your praise, make your prayers known to him. He knows, yes, he knows what you need. But when you speak those aloud to him, when you're communicating with your Father, something just happens inside, spiritually. and you understand. At least I hope you understand. He's hearing you. As you're hearing your own voice, understand in your heart that He is hearing you. And He's going to answer you. So give thanks. Give thanks like He's already done it. Because He did. On the cross, He said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. So it's not just the model prayer. It is instructions on how to pray. At least that's how I take it. All right. I'm going to stop there. So we'll begin next time at Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Thank y'all for coming this evening. I pray you go forth in peace and grace and letting the Lord show you how to apply this word in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.